Good morning, everyone. Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared to the glory to come that shall be revealed in us. For the expectation of the creature waiteth for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but that made it subject in hope. Because the creature also itself shall be delivered from the servitude of corruption, of the glory of the children. For we know that every creature groaneth and travaileth in pain, even till now. And not only it, but also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we are sown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the sons of God, the redemption of our body. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time when the multitude pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And going up into one of the ships, that was Simon's, he desired him to draw back a little from the land. And sitting, he taught the multitudes out of the ship. Now when he had ceased to speak, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, we have labored all the night and we have taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a very great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their parents, they beckoned to their partners that were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And when they came, and they came and filled both ships so that they were almost sinking, which when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he was wholly astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were Simon's partners. And Jesus saith to Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And having brought their ships to land, leaving all things, they followed him. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, this gospel of the preaching, Jesus preaching out of a boat and the catching of fish by a miracle, is one that's very dear to my heart because I like to go fishing. But he's teaching us through these comparisons that Jesus is trying to gather to himself men. He told St. Peter at the end, "From henceforth you shall catch men." But why does he want to gather men? In order to save them. When a fisherman goes fishing, he gathers up fish in order to kill them and eat them. That's not what Jesus does when he gathers men. He gathers them to bring them to life. To bring them to the life, the eternal life of his kingdom, which is the source of all this life on the earth. And we look into some of the things that are meant by the actions which Jesus did. First, he was there to teach. In the opening of the Gospel, St. Luke is writing that that the people gathered around Jesus and pressed on him by the lake shore in order to hear the word of God. They were interested in the word of God. And so Jesus responded by teaching them the word of God. And so he got into a boat. Now there were two boats. One of them was Simon Peter's. The other probably belonged to the other apostles. And he got into Simon's boat and backed away from the land and let down the anchor to sit and teach them from the water. Now this setting, of course, is quite natural to, if you have a bank, and people on the bank, they're like in a certain amphitheater to hear what is coming across the water from Jesus. But there are two meanings that go with this natural situation that he took. Number one is that the earth at this point represents heaven. And Jesus goes into the water, which represents earth. And so his incarnation. Solid ground represents heaven insofar as it's solid and it doesn't change so easily, whereas the water moves about and tosses when the storms come. And that represents earth, which changes often. And then another representation which could be taken from this is that the earth, and not considering the water at all, but the earth representing Mother Earth, the ground, planet Earth, Jesus puts a little distance between himself and it to show us that we ought not to be too attached to the things of the world. We have to be attached to the things of the world. We need food, we need shelter, we need clothing. Those are things of the world. But not too attached, because it's only for a time that we need those things, and we only need so much of it. We don't need all of it. And so Jesus shows us his, by this action of getting in the boat, backing off from the land, that he comes down from heaven and that he does not get too close to the earth either. Too close by being overly attached. Then, after teaching from the boat, and this represents the boat of St. Peter, which represents the church, the Roman Catholic Church, the only true church of God. And that doesn't change just because we didn't have a good pope or something, you know. It's still the church of Jesus Christ. And the only genuine one to which we belong, believe it or not. Some people will tell you, oh, you're out. You're outside. You're excommunicated. You're schismatic. Don't believe it unless you refuse the right kind of communion with our Holy Father Benedict XVI and all the rest of the church. There's a wrong kind of communion with them, too. And that we have to refuse, right? Because to agree with the modernistic ideas would be not true communion at all. But this one and only church, the Roman Catholic Church, is represented by that boat of St. Peter. The church is often called the bark of Peter, or the boat of Peter. And so Jesus teaches us from that boat and not from another. And it is his official pulpit. And then he teaches. And now the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ will draw good men. When a fisherman goes fishing, he takes fish against their natural instinct to be free. They want to be free in the water, in the ocean. And a commercial fisherman knows that. They know that fish get spooked and go away when there is some kind of a non-familiar noise or something that spooks them. And so the good fisherman who is trying to capture fish against the will of their instinct, he sneaks around, doesn't let the fish know what he's doing until it's too late for them. Now, they will find a school of fish, for example, the commercial tuna fishermen will find a big school of tuna. And what do? The first thing they do is they get away from it. They locate it and then get away so they don't spook them. And then they take miles and miles of net. And it's got weights on one end and floats on the other so that it stands up in the water. And it doesn't go underwater. The top of it doesn't. The bottom does. And they lay that net in a huge ring all around where those fish were spotted. And so the fish don't flee before they're caught inside. And then as they go along, they close up the net and make it smaller and tighter around the fish. They will draw the bottom of the net all together into one spot so that it's closed up like a bowl at the bottom. Then they draw the net in closer and closer so that the fish are all concentrated in one place. And then they take the fish out very easily because they're trapped in the net and they cannot get away. That's not how Jesus goes fishing. Jesus is looking for men. The men that Jesus catches come to him of their own will, using good common sense and good judgment. And they realize that coming to Jesus is the right kind of being caught. The right way to be. And being caught by Jesus is much better than being free from Jesus. And so they come willingly. And how do they come to him? Because he teaches them what he's all about. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the people on the shore. And to represent the fact that he had caught their hearts and that they were enamored with Jesus and wanted to be with him, wanted to be in his church and to enter heaven in the end, he did the miracle of the catch of fish. And it is more reasonable to think that those fish swam into those nets deliberately, insofar as a fish can be deliberate about something, rather than that they went out and circled up the fish and trapped them, to show that this kind of miracle is, and both boats were filled to the point of sinking. They didn't actually sink, but they were almost to the point of sinking. And even if the apostles had plenty more fish to draw on board, they would not have, because they would have sunk themselves in the process. And so it is the desire of heaven that brings us to the Catholic Church. It is the desire of heaven that brings us to listen to the Word of God. How many of you read out of the Bible once a day? Ask yourself. Even if it's just a little. Are you interested in the Word of God? How often in a day's time Do you seek after going to heaven? Do you think about going to heaven? Sometimes we associate going to heaven with dying, and we say, well, I don't like dying. But if we realize what heaven is like, we would not fear death like we do. And it is the desire of heaven that brings us to obey God. That is one of the great motivations that we have. I want to go to heaven, therefore I will not give in to my temptation that I experience. And it is the desire of heaven which leads men to heaven. In fact, the desire of heaven must be our primary objective in life. And if it is not, we will not go to heaven. Why will we not go to heaven if it's not our primary objective? The answer is very simple. If going to heaven is not our primary objective, then something else will be our primary objective. That is what we will accomplish if we accomplish anything. But if going to heaven is our primary objective, we will save our souls. Because when someone really wants something, and it's something they can do, which everyone can go to heaven, nothing can stop them. And if they don't change their primary objective, then nothing will stop them. And so let's today realign our thoughts where they ought to be with our Lord Jesus Christ and with His church. Remembering He goes a-fishing, but He's fishing for you. Uncle Jesus wants you, right? He wants you with Him in heaven. And if you want the same thing and that's your primary objective, you can be sure that you will go, because you will take all the means necessary and make all the right decisions. So let us put our hearts again on going to heaven. If we're inspired to love heaven, then it's from God. That's clearly from God. The devil has other ideas that you should like, and that's clearly from the devil. We put something more important than heaven. So keep your hearts then clean from the world as much as you can, in spite of the fact that we have to be here and be attached to it in a certain sense. Better be ready to let go of it, and only be ready to let go of the world and go to God if we're much more attached to heaven than we are to the earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.